listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers Series 2025. Artistic Direction, Brianna O'Mara and Chris Haring. The series is co-funded by the European Union in the frame of Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guest is Marika Peure, whose work Amalgam Melee was invited to this year's Attention series. We talked about violence and what difference it makes who defines what violence is, about the longing for belonging, and how to appropriate a culture which is your own but still not very familiar, and about dynamics one cannot control, neither in real life nor on stage. My name is Almut Krieser, and it was my pleasure to have a chat with Marika. We are back at the Mumuk exhibition of the pop-up archive of Impulse Dance. And I'm sitting here now with Marika Peure. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you are based in Helsinki. You're Finnish with a Philippine heritage. And you also did your dance and choreography studies in Finland, in Uni Arts, and also in Berlin, right? You got an award for the Future of Culture Prize 2 years ago. And you showed your piece, actually, Amalgam Melee, this year, last weekend. Since this podcast is going to be released, oddly, in autumn or winter, people who have seen the show might need a little reminder which show we are talking about. And there might also be people who have not seen it listening to the podcast. So first of all, I would like you to give us a very brief introduction or impression of what is happening in your piece.
Yeah. So the space is quite minimal or minimalistic, and the audience is seated on two sides. And the audience members can see each other. They can see each other's reactions. And the show starts in a way that I am already in the space, walking like a path, like a circle. Throughout the walking, tension starts building, and different gestures happen throughout the pathway of walking. And in the piece, I work with two objects. I have tsinelas, which is Tagalog for flip-flops. They are pink, so those are my shoes. And then I have a belt with a knife. In Finnish, it's called helavyö or helahoito, which is a really beautiful object, decorative belt that belongs to the national costume of southern Ostbotnia in Finland. And it's part of the male costume.
And these two things are sort of a costume, or they seem to be a costume at first when you sit in the audience, because you wear both of them. And at the same time, it's the only props that you use in this piece, right? And they already represent the two cultures that you represent within yourself then as well, or that you carry in yourself. But especially the flip-flops are surprisingly changing their function during the piece. What meaning do they have, these shoes?
I was born, raised in Finland. I'm a Finnish person. But then I have Filipino heritage. My mother is Filipino. So then this question of being a mixed Finn, and then the feeling of, like, my process of understanding myself, like my social political position, that I'm a Finn, but I'm a person of color. But then I don't speak the language of my mother, and I feel like I didn't get to live or learn that much of that culture because of many reasons. There's like many layers of reasons for that. But then living in those contradictions of having an immigrant mother and then a Finnish father, and then being a Finn being able to identify more with, because I share the language with my father and I understand the my surroundings, and but then longing to also like to identify with my mother, but then always understanding that we are not, I cannot, or I'm not that, or so this kind of process of understanding myself as a person of color, even I have felt or have these like contradictions, and how those are there. And then the Chinela is something that I do know. What I love about the Chinela, that it is an everyday object. People use it every day at the house, outdoors. And then at the same time, it holds this, it's like a tool of discipline, but then also resistance, and yeah, so it has those kind of meanings engraved in it.
Because it is an object where parents would discipline their children with, that's what you mean?
Yeah. But I guess you have maybe seen these memes and how the mother like picks up the slipper and
yeah,
it's kind of this like stress coming.
Yeah.
If you didn't clean your room or whatever.
It's sort of a international language for you better do what I say if someone picks up the shoe like this. Yeah. I actually have seen memes like this, yeah.
And then especially for those who have lived that, who know what it means. And then, well, as a kid, the aspect of discipline has heavily been there. But then as I've been doing this process of like really understanding the dynamics and hierarchies of power and violence and my own privileges in my own social political position and context, then also like looking at the flip-flop, the chinela, and how also kind of like claiming it as, well, I didn't get the language, but this is what I know. And it is also like a form of resisting or making something visible in this piece of the dynamics and power relations of violence. For me, what the piece is a lot about is about the question of violence and what is defined as violence and by whom, and who has the power and the monopoly to define what is violence.
And the other prop that you have, the knife that you had been talking about, the Finnish traditional clothing, sort of. I mean, that's also quite a violent device to some extent, right?
Well, it is a knife.
And what is it used for, or how, in which context? Is it something people wear when they do traditional dances, that kind of stuff? Or is it, does it have a function other than that?
Well, it is from the national costume, so yeah, people wear it with the costume and they do dances with it. But then it is like a specific knife from that area, and it is also, well, I don't know right now, but at least before was used in an everyday life context. Yeah. And then the aspect that you have it on your waist all the time, and it's there for your access, and it actually has two knives. Mm-hmm. There's like a smaller one and then the bigger one. And well, there's like a dark history also for that area and with that knife, because in the 1900s there used to be like a gang that would come to weddings or parties and like cause a really like violent situations where like people would get killed, and so they would come like and cause a lot of disturbance. And that's interesting, like there has been movies made about that gang called Hayut. But then there's in like books, and so it's kind of this there's been glorification of that. But then there's also been criticism of that glorification. But in my piece, it's not so much about I'm aware of that history. I was interested about it as well in the process. But for me, it's more that...
Is it also about self-defense then, that you have the knife with you?
For me, it's more about whiteness.
About whiteness?
Yeah, personally. Mm-hmm. Like the contradictions of, well, I'm a Finn and I have those privileges of that I can also use and I have access to in a certain degree. So when I think about these two objects and this question of violence, and then the differences of the violence there related to brownness and whiteness and power and hierarchies.
If I remember right, I found your shoes more scary than the knife when you used it. Is that only my impression, or do I remember wrongly? But you are much more busy with the shoe, aren't you? Would you say that?
I'm interested of hearing what made you feel it more violent.
Maybe it was also a bit more the surprise effect, because it's just shoes. But then you have these sudden situations. I mean, you walk, and then there was this moment where people get scared because they didn't expect you to stop and take your shoe, and then you are sort of threatening with the shoe. And with the knife, I somehow remember that you were more, yeah, somehow showing it as a beautiful object to some extent. And you did this, you mirrored. So the light was mirroring in the knife, and then the light was reflected into the audience faces. So it had these, it created these beautiful moments. So even though it is a weapon, a knife, it seemed quite a poetic object on stage. There were different situations as well where you were also using it as a threat, but somehow these poetic moments, they stuck more in my head, or in comparison. While with the shoe, I don't think that I remember a situation that was sort of, yeah, like appreciating the shoe the way you appreciated the knife in this moment when you did this reflections. But
well, as weapons, they are obviously really different. And to cause impact with the Cinella, you have to be extremely embodied with it. But with the knife, it doesn't operate like that. It's there in your waist, and for me, what it represents is this question of like the whiteness or the privileges that I hold that are on me, and I can just like the knife on my waist, I can just take them.
And having
then reflecting on him.
Having the knife there itself already is a sort of defense, because people see you have the knife. You could read it like this, right? Because if you say it represents the white, and being white is a privilege, having the knife there already gives you more security than wearing a tsinela.
Yeah, interesting that you mention or you talk about the defense, because I actually think it as when it's a weapon, like also the harm that I can do with the knife, like it's extremely dangerous. And the way I operate with the knife and all the grace and the beauty is for me this how whiteness is so so to say, like the violence operates in so many levels that is not so tangible and like so to say, like the understanding of what is violence and what is violent and who defines violence. So if we talk about structural violence or internal structural racism or internalized racism, it's not like someone is punching you in the face necessarily. But it's violent and it's really harmful. And how the white violence operates in those ways. But then it's not violent, like, or that it's there on display.
Yeah.
But it's kind of not never addressed because whiteness is, so to say, so intangible. And but it's all around and it's everywhere and it's in all the dynamics and hierarchies.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that went quite deep straight away now. but let's still get a bit back to the process of the piece. How did you start, like how did you develop this piece with all these complicated topics?
Well, before that I had like a long process of like a self process and like a long dialogue with talking about these topics and the political aspects, and then the interest of how to make a piece that has these political questions, but that the piece is real, that it really operates with the body and the logics of through choreography and the body. Like I was not interested to make like a lecture performance for instance, or to use language or to speak, or that I really wanted to work with the body and movement and choreography and the contemporary stage. So it was an interesting process to work on that. And for me it was, since the beginning was really clear, I want to work with the tsinelas. Mm-hmm. And then also a knife, and then at some point it came like, ah, it's gonna be this knife. And then from very early on, the walking, like it was already the first time I went to the studio, like, okay, now I'm gonna start working on this piece. And then I had the shoes and I was just walking in a circle, and then I'm like, okay, well, this is how the choreography will actually be, like the base for it. And then spending time with the props and spending a lot of time with my working group of thinking about the meanings of each gesture and how we can like work with the props in a really thorough and multi-layered way. The biggest challenge for me personally was to work with the emotional levels of the peace and to allow myself to go there to be with the vulnerability. My working group was like, yeah, it's great, but like, if you will not let yourself to engage emotionally, it will not be that. And then when we kind of got into the materiality of it, then the aspect of the audience relationship kind of showed up, like, okay, so then this is how, like, the audience relationship is an extremely important part of the piece.
Yeah, clearly, because it has this, there is so much tension in it. And I would like to talk a bit about the walking that you mentioned, that is this dramaturgical structure as well. I kept perceiving it differently, your walks. I was never sure, is it, you have a very steady walk and you seem like an empowered person walking. And at some point, I also get the picture of a hamster being in a wheel, walking, 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 but never arriving somewhere. Why you do the walks, if you're going somewhere or if you're running away from somewhere. Did you think about these meanings of the walking while you do it? Do they have different meanings for you?
For me, the walking sort of represents the everyday life, or the just like being a person with this body. For instance, in the public space, or like how you just live your life. And then and the walking is the backdrop where all the tensions and eruptions and the gestures start happening. Like something cuts your flow. Something cuts the flow. And that is the question of power and violence. And then how that creates this tension in within the body, and also how the tension of the violence is from me to outside of the body, and from outside of the body to me, and amongst, and how everyone who is in the space is part of that system.
Yeah, because this tension that you create, you feel it. I mean, I was not sitting in the front row. I was not directly addressed by you, as several other people were. And still I felt this tension. And it was, from the very beginning, very strong. And it was quite impressive that that happened so quickly, that you were in this alert situation. As you mentioned, there is this interaction with the audience. It's very important. Was this working all the time, or did you get into... Did you get unexpected response from audience as well when you came close?
Well, of course, the process with working with the audience came quite late. So then that layer gets revealed then, and then you also start to learn performance by performance how to play with it, or what logics it can have while performing, but then living the situation and being, reading the audience, and you see everyone's faces round by round, and reading like, okay, what is the vibe in the room? Should I go to that person? Or maybe that one. Making choices while doing. And then living the situation of like, okay, well, what is here actually now happening between us? Of course, it's like I have a score and I know what I'm doing, but you don't know how they will respond, and how do I respond to that? And then after that, being like always thinking of like, okay, well, that happened. And then the variables that I could have done, or... But your question, like, did something unexpected happen? I wouldn't say unexpected, but sometimes you get reactions from the audience and then you interpret them. And then, well, there was one time that I felt the audience member was... like mocking me in a way, or me working with the Tinella, and then what it would evoke in me, how I would react to that, which are the same mechanisms that happen in the everyday life. Yeah, you're walking on the street or you are in the grocery store or somebody says something rude to you or misogynist or racist or whatever, and then you respond in the moment, and then after that you are like, oh, so annoyed, I should have said this or this or this. Or so yeah, that happened as well. And then like having mixed emotions about it, but then we had a really nice talk with my working group about it, and then understanding how those dynamics actually happen also inside of the performance space, that it's not like an isolated event of real life, but while performing a show that deals with the questions of violence, those questions like literally happen there, and then well, this particular thing happened in a show where I felt this mocking when I started working with the Chinela, and then being like, ah, and it was, I assumed this person being male. And then it's interesting of this question of like, ah, so you have a woman who is now, is really strong and powerful and aggressive and portraying violence, and so that's now funny, or this question of like, okay, but then the what kind of showed up there is that then someone else defines, is this violence? No, this is hysterical, or this is, you're being dramatic, or you're being overly emotional. So there's the question of who has the monopoly to define what is violence is what I think was really also beautiful in that show, even it was also like challenging while performing.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it really, yeah, you get the point. That's, you don't create a neutral space when you perform, but the things that happen outside in daily life or in society, all these structures and these power structures, they don't stop when you perform. Of course not.
And to add to that, what I think is nice that the audience can see each other and see each other's reactions and see also like, okay, someone is behaving in a certain way, and then so it happens in like the reflections, or possibly there's like a possibility for reflections to happen, but or reflecting. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So that the audience relationship plays also in that way.
Yeah. Well, thank you a lot for these thoughts. Let's talk about the residency as well that you have here, because that's the part where Lifelong Burning comes in. When you are invited here to Vienna by Impulstanz to show your piece, Lifelong Burning is partnering up with the festival, and we are inviting you to not just come, show, and leave again, but to actually stay for a residency here in Vienna. And I would like to know how that was for you, how you spent your time here.
So my time here has been that my shows have been in the middle of my stay. So I used the space to warm up the piece, thinking about the dramaturgy and choreography as the spacing was a little bit different. After the piece premiered in September 2024, so then also this is the first time performing it again. So thinking, like revisiting the material and the gestures and how preciseness and also new perspectives and clarifications have been in that process here during my stay. Then I have taken some workshops, or actually so far one workshop, this Carpet of Lungs by Vesa Maria Fernandez, if I'm saying correctly, and Oneka And then I have seen performances. And then yesterday was my first day off after the shows. So I think I will use the space still on the weekend, and I'm doing one workshop as well.
I mentioned before that this podcast will only be released in autumn, sometime in October, November maybe. Do you know already what you will be doing there? Is there something we can talk about that's coming up in the next couple of months?
Well, I'm preparing, or I'm doing research phase for future works. There's actually quite many different kind of projects there, like cooking. My next premiere will be next year. And I'm working with this, like a continuation from Amalgam Melee, but working towards a performance series that work with these questions of brownness, whiteness, power, violence. And in the next piece, it will be a duet. And we are looking into the question of whiteness, or digging deeper from where Amalgam Melee left, and looking into this sort of performativity of the pleasantness of whiteness, and then kind of hijacking it to reveal or work with the violence that is there behind this. But yeah, it will be a duet. Which is also really exciting. It feels also really nice to continue with these questions, look at them through the personal embodied experience, but then while it's a duet, it also gives more space to play with the broader question, that it's not so kind of nailed in the personal. It is a really personal starting point, but it's, for me, it's not about my identity per se, but it is about the broader questions with Amalgam Melee, and then continuing with those.
All right, I'm very curious about this next work. I hope I get the chance to see it. And thank you very, very much for taking your time. And enjoy the last days in Vienna.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographers series. To never miss a new episode, follow us on Deezer, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. For more artist conversations, visit our websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsdance.com.